Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. On this beautiful summer afternoon in late August. It's the last day of August. And so much for that global warming bullshit. We've just had the coldest summer I have ever experienced in Southern California in the 32 years I've lived here. It's as if summer never showed up at all. It's taken literally till August 31st to have a day like this where it's 10:20 in the morning in Huntington Beach and it's just absolutely perfect. It's probably about 75 plus. This episode is going to be about a term I heard a couple nights ago on YouTube at my smoke lounge where it was the word instant truth is over. I mean, that was the phrase, excuse me. And I absolutely loved it. As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh my God, that's one of those phrases. Instant truth. Here's the thing. We are always looking for the one phrase that you can tell someone who's asleep that will infect their brain like an image of some impossible, like Escher infinite loop image where a computer simply trying to analyze the image will go crazy and overload and have to change their programming to be able to acknowledge something that doesn't really exist. Instant truth. What does that really mean? If you're confused, it means that people believe in shit because the institution that's bringing it to them has some history in their family life, right? It's the New Yorker magazine. It's ABC. It's whatever. CNN. It's the Huffington Post. Doesn't that just sound real, Huffington? Oh my God, how could they possibly lie to you? Regal rags of yellow journalism that have now infiltrated broadcast television, the internet, places like Google and YouTube censor against instant truth. But you know what I think is even deeper and more hilarious about instant truth? It's that the boomers of the world, and some millennials, but mostly boomers, they're so fucking lazy when it comes to discerning the truth. They want to phone the whole fucking thing in. They want to phone parenting in. They want to phone life in. Everything is a low risk, low yield, low fucking fulfillment history of their lives, on average. Now, I hang out with some boomers that are rock stars, and they were anything but that. Their whole thing was being neurotically focused on what the hell they wanted in life. They kept the thing on 11 constantly, and therefore they really lived. They did something unique with their life, which, again, there's an episode I put out there called Why Are You Here? And the whole thrust is not to do something trivial, man. You're not here to do the same bullshit again that someone else has already done. You're here to do something special. So find out what it is and do it. But that's another episode. Instant truth. Instant truth is such a ridiculous paradigm of claim that if you really think about it, and I think psychologists have proven it, and sociologists have proven it. I saw that bastard get up there. All right, I gotta do scarecrow work. Hang on. It's my privilege on this day. But they've proven several times that when a human being is at a location and they are a witness to a situation, that your personal psychological biases start to infect what you think you saw. If you have any uncertainty and you try to fill in that uncertainty with sort of like, you know, your Jurassic Park frog DNA to try and figure out what was there. You try to guesstimate what was there. Your biases will control what you do with that unknown information. Sometimes there's a situation where what happened was so unbelievably terrible and against all your belief systems that you'll simply either wipe it clean like it didn't happen or you'll retell the story from scratch. What do you think it must be like for these families that have, you know, gangbangers for kids, and they get the phone call from the police or they turn on the television and their kid has got an AK-47 robbing a bank downtown, you know, downtown Los Angeles, and they got 1,000 LAPD on these people. And you're like, you know, the name is being announced, who's doing it's being announced, and the guy walks down the sidewalk, puts a gun up in his jaw and blows his brain out, and that's your kid. And you have no idea because you've been in, I'm not saying you, these people have no idea because they didn't accept the fact that their kid was in a gang or whatever. And so they just short circuit in real life, end up in some institution. One of the classic things that happened when I was in junior college, it would probably be too, risque today. Because I went to junior college at two locations. I went to Ventura Junior College and Danza Junior College, where Steve Jobs went. And they taught the same thing twice. I remembered it really well. They run this experiment where a bunch of kids ran into a room and they did a mock murder. I guess they even fired a gun, which is a traumatic sound object, right? So your brain starts going to trauma for physical reasons, let alone the psychological reason. And then it was like scene, it's over, all the actors leave, and then they ask the kids, okay, based on what you saw, write it down. You just eyewitnessed this whole thing. What did you see? There was a few black kids in the room, but a bunch of white kids in the room. Of the actors that came in and did this, one was a black male, and the rest were all mixed white, as I have had this told to me a couple times. The black kids in the room actually got it right. They said the white dude shot the white girl. Something like that. But all the white people said the black guy shot the white girl. And the truth is, the white guy shot the white girl. But all this racial bias that was going on in the 60s, when this experiment was done, was infecting all the bias. Of course, the one that they are ridiculously afraid of, the black male, well, of course, he's the aggressor. The folks that are black, they don't see any threat in someone just of a different color because they're smarter, and they kept their, you know, they kept their trauma down, and they're looking at the situation going, who's got a gun? Who's got a gun? And they were able to filter through their bias. That's why instant truth doesn't work no matter what you think. But instant truth, again, is one of those phrases that if you sit down with someone who's idealistically drunk on fake news, and it could be, it's right now, it just happens to be in 2019, a lot of leftist stuff. But there's definitely lies everywhere. Everywhere. All the time. And there is no such thing as instant truth, for the most part. Now, where there's a binary question being asked, that's as close as you can get to an instant truth. Is it heads or is it tails? Will that meteorite kill all of us, you know? Is George Soros really dead? Binary answers are the easiest ones. But by no means the one, the type of question you can ask that you're obviously going to get just instant truth. But why do people want instant truth, right? Haven't you ever been in a conversation where someone was like taking too long to explain something and you're just like, hey, what happened? Is my kid alive or is my kid dead? Don't give me this big buildup. You're not a storyteller, dude. Because people ask me all the time, how do you read the news, man? How do you read the news such that you can keep a mental image of the world? And I will tell you that it is increasingly difficult, extremely difficult. Because there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. It's amazing. You will find remarkable articles in everywhere. It's strange. I've seen CNN reporting that I was shocked. CNN was reporting the Hong Kong riots while Fox News has almost never acknowledged that they exist. What the hell? What, are you kidding me? 1,000 people downtown Hong Kong, all over bridges and shooting green lasers in the face of the cops to keep her out, facial recognition, cutting down telephone poles with diamond saws so they can crush the cameras at the end, which is the surveillance state that's been installed by mainland China. This is history happening, and they're not reporting it. Paris has had riots every single weekend since December of 2018. Barely anyone's governing anymore. So that's it. RT, the Russian news, they'll report, some things that you don't get to see anywhere else in the world. But then they have probably 50 to 60% of just absolutely either fake news or ridiculous fear-mongering op-eds. I mean, super, super ridiculous, ignorant writers that believe in this matrix that we live in terms of who's in control, you know, who's in debt to who. Go fuck yourself. Are you kidding me? America's in debt to nobody. Europe's in debt to nobody. This is all funny money. All fiat currency has been created by these bankers to screw us over. They are the ones that create the war such that we borrowed money in the first place. They're the ones that crashed the economy to make sure we had to borrow money in the first place. They own the choice of what energy we use. And we're all getting blamed, you know, for having nuclear power plants, power homes. I didn't fucking choose that. Nobody chose that. Some banker chose that and imposed it on me. And then later on, when he decides he wants to change the business, he guilt trips the shit out of me through Al Gore and this bullshit climate change stuff, which ain't happening. Instant news doesn't exist. Or sorry, instant truth doesn't exist. Excuse me. Instant news is out there. But instant truth has never been easily accessible in the history of man. You could have a village with 50 people, no other people on earth. And, you know, Bobby hits Mary in the face or whatever. And you can't get all the facts, not in an instant way. Okay, what was going on? What did you do there? What did you say? You should never hit a woman and da-da-da-da-da. But still, like, what did you do? What did you say? You know, it's like there's a million circumstances. What's interesting is that to have instant truth, and what I'm trying to do here is giving you the stage 2, 3, 4 through N follow-up statements when you bring this up to someone who's completely indoctrinated, and you get them on the bandwagon of like, oh yeah, there is no instant truth, is there? No, and now let's talk about it. And so I am going to freestyle, as I always do, tons of things that you can bring up to further drive the nail in the coffin that, hey, since there is no instant truth, why don't you go back and ask yourself all the things that you've believed through the apparatus of instant truth, and then do yourself and me a big giant favor, including society, and get rid of all that information. And then you can take them down rabbit hole after rabbit hole to find out what's going on. But think about the very fabric of information today. Because isn't that the substrate? What are you reporting on? I'm reporting on the river of truth. Oh, you are. Where's that? Where is the river of truth by which this information is cleansed? It's beautiful. It's the pure source in Tron 1982. There is none, is there? I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and it was all about the fact that I don't think we can go back more than maybe the 1500s and have just even an idea of what the hell was going on in this world. It's all been filled in by historians who smoke pipes and wear, you know, what is it, powdered wigs, telling us what happened and telling us confidently that we have that certain uncertainty that we loathe uncertainty, because uncertainty is the monster in the hole, you know, and it's the monster in the cave, it's the disease that might eat you up. And so I want you to fill in all the gaps for me, right? So, you know, it's one of these things of, you know, there's a lot of analogies for planes flying over.
Wow.
That's 4 World War I fighter planes. Wow, they're flying in formation. That's just super cool. But there's all these metaphors and parables and songs about when you build something, you've got to build it from a foundation. A strong foundation, right?
All right.
When your foundation is crap, well, everything you build on is crap. When your philosophy of the world is crap, it's socialism, then everything you're going to say from this point forward is based on complete bullshit. Well, if history is completely tanked, right? I mean, let's just go through some basic things, you know. You have Stonehenge. Stonehenge is supposedly built 5,000 BC, blah, blah, blah. Well, it was in a completely different location in 1953, and then was picked up, brushed off, all the rocks were repaired, a new site was determined, and they built the whole thing in 1954, and there's 110 photos of them building it. You know, you go there and you see, like, the stones have been completely filled in with concrete at the base so they would stand straight up. You didn't think that was a little bit weird? That you're not really seeing it where it used to be? And then, of course, they immediately impose on it some druid calendar thing. It's all fucking made up, people. Don't you realize that? That whole story is made up. And then what do? Archaeologists come in and start digging around the new fake site. Right? It used to have a ring there. So there was some sort of thing going on before they put those stones there. But they dig up little pots and little things, supposedly. I mean, archaeologists, I now think, are just about as fake as a $3 bill. They only make money if they find something in the ground that's old. Okay, not everybody has access to all the great digs in the world. Because either someone already has it, or a country says, we don't want you to dig up this history, because, you know, might reverse some of the power structure we have on the surface of the soil now. Egypt, talk about it all the time, don't we? Graham Hancock has uncovered what we believe to be easily another 35,000 years of history added to the 5,000 that's on the books. They only really go back 3,200, but he's found temples that designate pharaohs back 35,000 years. Okay. We now figured out what the pyramids do. They're big giant batteries. They're big giant, basically ethereal power plants. Okay. As Tesla proved in his antenna that he built. We have a bunch of people who believe that in their particular area of the world, some religious magic person existed. Not just Christians, a bunch of folks. And, you know, there's no harm in some of that, because you can go, hey, this is a way to teach your brain how to think correctly and how to behave in society. And, well, yeah, we have some things you should do to your body, because we say God doesn't want you to be that way, but what it was really about is keeping you clean and keeping you from getting sick. So we baked into the religion, whatever. A bunch of us exist now because we cut that little piece of skin off, or we did this, or we eat fish on Friday, or whatever the hell the thing is, right? But it was just, it wasn't anything to do with God or any religion or magic people that really existed. But isn't it funny? I mean, we all want a little bit of magic to exist in this world, and it's sort of like, screw you, don't tell me magic doesn't exist. All right. I mean, can you function in society as an adult? Are we going to live in some margin of fiction? Is it good to live in a margin of fiction? Maybe it is. Johnny Depp's movie where he played Don Juan. He was living in a fictional character, personifying Don Juan, the lady killer. And he brought joy to all these women who were unloved in the world. Hey, that's pretty cool. And then he gets cornered in a hospital and has to take drugs to remove his fantasy. It's a damn shame, but it was beautifully done in that film. It's one of these films that he did that nobody even remembers, and it was, the first act is so brilliant, the way he seduces these women, it's so funny. It's also one of these movies that's, you know, trying to teach women to not like your alpha males. But whatever, generational gaps. Instant truth. Doesn't NASA enjoy instant truth? Man, anything they say they do, holy shit. I mean, it's so bad now. I mean, imagine SpaceX with all their CG landings and all this stuff. NASA doing spacewalks in some weird water laboratory, you know, water testing ground, and, you know, all the fake harness stuff and the ISS. I mean, they are pumping out... they're pumping out scenes in the ISS that if you were to watch, you know, Gravity 2, and Sandra Bullock floats by in a harness, or she says, look at me, I'm doing some 360 zero gravity rotations, and her, you know, her clothes are pulling where all the wires are hanging onto her, which is what happens to all the astronauts, including a guy reaching over and grabbing the damn wire. You would leave the movie saying, those were the worst special effects ever. I will recommend this only to laugh at. But NASA gets to present that crap and get away with it, don't they? It's real, folks. Okay, I need to believe in more fake shit, because I've been totally indoctrinated from childhood onto fake shit. Tooth fairies and Easter bunnies and Santa Claus, and now the next thing is religion. Oh, I get to keep this one. This is my fake one I get to keep. Don't tell me magic doesn't exist. And I worry about your soul because you don't believe in fake shit. And then NASA comes around and goes, well, you're totally indoctrinated. Watch this. It's all real. And do you believe in Jesus? Yep, you do, right? Because these two go together. The second you're an atheist, maybe you got a chance of discern. Oh, but no, atheists have science as a religion, so shit, you're screwed too. This has to be real because this is the usurpation of man's capabilities into my own heart. If man does it, then I did it. Boom, don't tell me I didn't do it. We're fucked, aren't we? I think of a lot of you who watch this show, you're the most awake people on planet Earth. Because even if you're got a foot in some of that stuff, and you have a foot in the opposite direction, like you're not going to be necessarily heartbroken. Like, say you're a flat earther and you actually see the photograph of Earth that's from one of your legit sources and it's round and you see the whole thing and it rotates under 24 hours observation, and then you're like, okay, all right, well, I was wrong. You're not going to be destroyed because you weren't irrational about your devotion to a potential theory. Same thing for the Globers. I think if you're on this show, I mean, if you're watching this show, I feel like you guys are on the show, but if you're a Glober, and geez, I'm a Glober, I'm an expanding Earth guy, I think it makes utter sense. But it's not so I can hurt a flat earther. It's just, if I found that the place was flat, you have to understand the level of mind-blowing that's going to happen in my soul is going to be the best orgasm I've ever had in my life, to see the place is flat. Damn, because you know me, I've run through every scenario I can think of, you know, if it is flat, then what is it? Who owns it? Can I meet the owners? Are they gray aliens? Or is it God on the other side? I mean, is a big eyeball looking down to the top of the firmament? I don't know. I don't care. It's all going to be great. I mean, I suppose if we're truly some slave, you know, it would only be because you were told you were a slave that you would think this world is a prison, I guess. But if they said, yeah, you know why the whole world's run by evil reptilian bastards? It's because we control who's in charge and we have put these people on top of you. Now, that would piss us off and we want to break down the wall and get out of here, but I assure you, we probably can. We'd have to get way more clever than that to escape. Again, my thing is that this existence is merely something that we've had to create because we live forever. Reincarnation is not a religious thing. It is a ecosystem of our existence. That's what I believe. But let's get back on to the subject of instant truth. I guess the fundamental question is, you know, well, you might get like an academic or something saying, well, you know, it's the best truth we can get a hold of, man. Okay. Yeah. Probably is, you know, if we were to frame the question with the serendipitous, you know, chaotic nature of a society creating itself from scratch, then, you know, we didn't have, you know, let's just say Adam and Eve was real. We don't have a situation where we go, okay, I'm Adam, you're Eve. You got any parchment so we can write down what happened here? Because if we don't start writing it down, I'm going to start forgetting what happened. I mean, we're going to live with 900 to 1,000 years. We're going to have hundreds and hundreds of kids. I'm going to start forgetting my own grandchildren's name, let alone my first generation kids. And Eve is like, being pregnant for the very first time ever. So we didn't write anything down for a long time. We didn't have a methodology or the idea to do so. If we were ever cavemen or Neanderthals or the Homo sapiens sapien was some sort of new hybrid coming out of a spaceship somewhere or some laboratory, then it was probably feral and weak up to a point. And so we just don't have the beginning. We don't have 99.9% of man's history. We don't. I mean, even if we were to say, okay, we have found a perfect technique, and we go a little off the rails here for some fun, but if we were to go completely off the rails, I'm lost my syllables there. Let's say we give Scientology its wet dream, and we figure out a machine that can 100% accurately connect to your soul, and then immediately looks up all your previous lives, and I mean it's 1,000% detailed. There's going to come a point in the history of man, it's going to go back several tens of thousands of years, if not hundreds of thousands of years, where we're actually totally communicating like intelligent beings. We're going to have weird clicky-clacky languages probably, but it's going to be a normal get up, get some water, kill some animals, go harvest some fruits or whatever, screw a lot probably, raise our kids, blah, blah, blah. But there will come a point we go back so far that man will seem almost incapable of being understood. Because we're just going to be weird, feral beings. Again, this is if we weren't dropped off as a hybrid creation of an alien that might have imbued us with sort of some of the intelligence we have today, right? Which isn't interesting that we would go back to a point where we simply couldn't discern the truth to begin with. Now, obviously, when we're talking about instant truth, we're talking about today's current events. What does America think? What does Russia think? What does China think? Is Trump a bad guy or good guy? Is Q real or fake? Is Hillary Clinton really a child killer? So these are the questions we ask. You know, right now we are seeing, in America at least, your traditional wipe clean the slate of all these people who committed massive treason. With this fucking Q guy off to the side, he's now completely gone off the map since the El Paso shooting as of August 31st. We don't know what's real. And here's what's interesting. We don't typically put forth a, like there's no constitutional amendment anywhere in the world that protects truth. Right? We say we have the freedom of speech, right to bear arms, you don't have to house soldiers in your house, there's no eavesdropping, you don't self-incriminate, da-da-da-da, all the way down the line. But at no point does it say, if you publish, there used to be laws like this after the big, the game show Clue, the United States, you know, lied for years and brought this guy up through the ranks by telling him all the answers. There was some legislation passed that said you can't lie on television. People were so pissed off. Propaganda is not allowed. Well, all that was revoked. You can lie. You're expected to lie. It's your job to lie. But here's the thing. We have this sort of diabolical plan that's going on where these two things are opposed to each other, which is, let's just say that the non-propaganda legislation was reintroduced. If you get caught pushing propaganda, which is unsubstantiated claims about a person, place, or thing, and there's a hitch to that too, you go to jail. If you do it, you go to jail. Your news organization doesn't get fined, it gets shut down instantaneously. So if CNN's caught doing it one time, Fox gets caught doing it one time, RT, whatever, they're banned from the United States of America. All the employees have to go find work someplace else. Woo, wouldn't that change the world? But we have opinion pieces. So unless we put a little sentence on the end of that legislation that says, and it is not the place of news organizations, if you use the word news, you are legally forbidden from having individuals express personal opinions ever on your show. So all these op-ed pieces are gone. Now you can create another organization instantaneously that is Fox Opinions or something, but you can't use the word news on it. It's an opinion-pieced channel that you can just flip on. You can find out what Bill O'Reilly thinks and all the douchebags from CNN and da-da-da. But all of them, all these folks that have their pieces, Rush Limbaugh's in there and Al Franken's in there, and they can just talk all they want. And it's a freedom of speech zone. They can do what they want. But it's not news. And so then, when an individual wants to connect themselves with something that is of truth, they can say, I keep my mind straight because there's laws on the books where there's, if there's one mishap of telling the truth in a news article, you realize this isn't impossible, right? But if they say, look, there's one area I go to, it's just news, I don't look at op-ed stuff, so I keep those opinions out of my pain. Or they say, look, I do go to the Young Turks to find my reality. And someone's like, oh, really? Okay, see you later. You know, so you can see how difficult it is. Well, then if you had the news organization, let's dive into splitting the hair here. It's important if you're going to have this conversation with anybody, and especially with yourself. We know there are all these mass shootings that are organized by the deep state. They do. They are. There goes my monetization. And they're obviously reporting to the news, let's just say, fake facts, lies about who did what, when, and how. But they have organized for the observers a fake shooter. You know, we got this video of these cops splashing fake blood on their hands on a helicopter shot. I believe it's a helicopter shot. The guys push two cops in a cop car on the right side of the passenger side of the car, splashing all this fake blood, and they got it all over the ground. They're splashing all over themselves, so one guy just runs off. They're in a big hurry to get this done super fast. They're part of the cabal. And, of course, Trump, the big super savior, can't find these guys and arrest them. Yeah. Yeah, we're in a big fucking awakening here in America. Give me a break. We're waking up, but the government is still organizing these things and allowing them to occur. We're just people on the internet looking at these two guys splashing butt on themselves. Where's the FBI? Where's Trump? What, are you going to take 10 months to get rid of this? These two guys? No. You raid their homes in the middle of the fucking night. You put them in prison for treason for the rest of their lives. And you go, hey, you know, you're going to eat bars of shit until you start coughing up some stuff. And then maybe we give you a ham sandwich. But you're in here for the rest of your life. You chose badly. Your kids, they have no fathers anymore. Tough shit, man. You wanted to serve the deep state? Welcome to Gitmo. None of that shit's happened. None of it. And it never will. So if you think you're winning, you're not. You're not winning. There's no mega arrests going on. They're appeasing you with a bunch of arrests here and there. Yeah, a couple pedophiles are getting picked up, but new people are going in their place. A couple pedophile servers go down. Well, 10 come up in its place. Unless we have someone who is willing to kick ass and take names and not negotiate with the fucking evil side of the world, and really, really do what needs to be done for society, we're going to go right back to where we were and 10 levels deeper in 4 years, 6 years, whatever. Results, baby. That's what you need. You don't hire an employee that constantly tells you how great they are, how they're going to fix all of your problems internally, of which you've hired them to fix, and then every day, nothing happens except they tell you how bad the problem is. They prove it to you. They prove how it's even worse than you thought, and they bring you up more evidence, and you're just kind of sitting there as the legitimate employee, and you're like, yeah, when are you going to fix it? And they just go, trust the plan, man. Trust the plan. I can't fix everything at once. We're sitting there going, well, fix something. Oh, I will. You know that little tiny thing I fixed that, you know, I put the cups back in the dispenser next to the water bottle? Yeah, see, I did some things. Yeah. Not what I hired you for. Thanks. But we, you know, go back to the idea that we might pass the legislation that says you can't lie anymore. Okay. Well, then if you can't have, as a penalty of a felony, an imprisonment, life in prison for telling lies to the public, representing yourself as a news organization, let's just say we're able to get that passed, then how does the military corps of PSYOPs get to remain funded at God knows how many billions of dollars every year? 15 years ago, I think it was $1.5 billion a year to lie to the world. And of course, they tell you, oh, that's not to lie to Americans. Really? Really? Were you born yesterday? Seriously, it is to lie to Americans, probably more so than to lie to anybody else in the world. These organizations were formed right after World War II. It was really during World War II, but the organizations that were formerly funded came out of World War II. Well, what did we learn from World War II? Oh, we learned how brilliant Joseph Goebbels was, the king of propaganda. Boy, we weren't going to smuggle a bunch of Nazis into this country and not use them. We weren't going to allow Skull and Bones to take over our country and not use them. The Central Intelligence Agency was all Skull and Bones for like 20 years. The top brass were all graduates of that, infiltrating anti-American, pro-European, pro-World Bank organization. George Herbert Walker Bush was a Skull and Bones. His son was a Skull and Bones. John Kerry's a Skull and Bones. Our first president was Taft. He was a Skull and Bones. That's right when we, right before we got the 16th Amendment. You know, Woodrow Wilson was just a nice guy. He was a history professor who was controlled by these guys. One after the other after the other. We got World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, Desert Storm, 9/11, all that shit. The neocons and all these other individuals. Deep states on both sides of the fence. They own both sides of the fence because they do not go into a negotiation by which they don't already have the results controlled. It's in every single, you know, Carnegie, how to run a successful business, how to run your life book. Control both sides of the argument. That's how you win. And that goes back hundreds and thousands of years, that whole idea. And some people might say, well, man, you just need to trust the plan, man. It does take a long time to get all this stuff done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I also think it takes a little bit of pressure from the citizens to say, you know what, we're getting impatient. And you know what impatient should translate to on their end? We're ready. We're ready for change. We're ready for these big things to occur. There's all these people that people think are going to get arrested to, again, expose the truth, upgrade the truth by which we can draw from to have a semblance or some idea of an instant truth. It's not going to happen. Look at the Epstein situation. What a joke. He's dead now, probably off on some island somewhere, but he's pronounced dead. He's officially dead. You know, again, they found him dead in his prison cell, and then they have photographs of administering, you know, oxygen to him and trying to revive him. Well, he's dead. He's got a broken neck. He's supposedly blue. He's so supposedly cold. And you got photographs of them trying to help him. You don't try to do that to a dead body. It's dead. So it's all bullshit. The guy's scot-free somewhere. Scot-free. People think, oh, Trump captured him and put him in Gitmo. Yeah. So that way the investigation goes away because they now had to legally get rid of his case against a dead man. What can you do? And now what they're doing is they're dropping a bunch of kind of light, soft porn photographs that they found in his island to give you the idea that that's all there is. That's all there is. There's no children involved with this thing. There was no underground bunkers. Q's whole thing about telling you they got all their surveillance because they got all the cell phone communications from the island and the NSA database. Whatever, man. You'll never see it, and no one responsible for it will be prosecuted ever. Ever, ever, ever. This whole thing was a big wash. I think if you want to get back on the bandwagon of progress, my advice is don't trust the plan. Go online and express yourself. And if you're afraid to express yourself as who you are, that's fine. Just get your message out somehow. Blog under some pseudonym, you know. Just get the information out. Comment on someone's YouTube channel or some other place that you think is more. Go to BitChute. Everything's on BitChute. But let's focus back towards an original statement I made, which is I think that instant truth is a sign of cowardice, of not being able to deal with, not wanting to deal with whatever trauma might be on the other side of truth. And, you know, again, for children, we don't need children to understand what pedophiles are. Not until they become adults. And then hopefully, if we do our job as parents and grown adults, which there's a hell of a lot more of us than them, we will have done our job, and it will be a case study in history instead of this is a current predator problem that we have in the world. So my son, my daughter, when you start getting pregnant and having kids, These are the creeps you need to look out for, and this is what we know about them up to this point. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't serve your kids milk cartons with little kids on the side saying, hey, have you seen me lately? Can you imagine? You know, like they have these movements that come around saying, don't drink milk, da-da-da-da, don't eat meat, whatever. And what if you told the milk industry, look, as long as your little cartons have pictures of children on the side, we're not buying. Enjoy yourself. And have them rip all that crap off their little milk cartons, especially into a school district. Insane. Insane. You know, it's just like putting murder photographs on the side of cereal boxes for adults to watch. What kind of world do we have? Who thought that fucking idea besides some Satanistic asshole? So truth is extremely important to a human being who is awake. Because we're trying to control our lives, right? We're trying to be successful in our lives, both on a personal emotional level, in a external business level, with our families, with our friends. We're trying to live a good life. But if everything we base our life on is based on a lie, because we can't get the truth, then we might be offending someone because we're quoting a lie. With the mass shootings, it's crazy. You have like you have a situation where we think that in some cases no one died, other cases people really died. And so what if you're accidentally cross-pollinating some of that stuff? Well, nobody died at this place, but you were there and you watched somebody's head get filleted by a bullet, and you're looking at this person going, oh my God, yeah, they did. With the Vegas shooting, people really died, man. People really died, man. Being this close to Los Angeles, it's not if you knew someone who was there and saw the things, how many do you know? And I mean, just I'd say 2 or 3 degrees away from me, this dude who's close friends of close friends, you know, he's like, my daughter got killed right in front of me. No parents should see their child murdered or lose their child in any circumstance whatsoever. You're supposed to die before your children die. This guy's in the middle of a concert having a good time, and poof, it's over. And that wing of his life. Any dreams he thought he was going to have with this kid, having kids and having a full life, it was a bunch of lies that took that away from him. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to live in a world where it's sort of like, well, what is truth anyway, man? You know, we can never find it because we, the people of this world, equal to all other people on this planet because of the sovereign right that we get for existing in this planet, something the Republic enforces. You don't really have that. You've got monarchs, you know, ahead of you in the line to get to God, and you've got bankers simply because they have more fake units in a bank, a digital number in a bank, and they have possessions that we allow them to control through ill-gotten gains. They're more powerful than us. They're higher than us. There is a class structure. There is a class structure everywhere at all levels of discernment. Let's just say we were to balance all the resources in the world. You know, and I don't mean to be getting into some socialistic, pro-socialistic statement here, but let's say we get to Gene Roddenberry's world, the perfect socialistic world. Again, it takes a lot of IQ to get to that world, which we are thousands of years away from, unless we can come up with a matrix machine where I know kung fu in a split second. But once you have the same amount of money as everybody else, and your body's the same shape as everybody else, guys are all one shape, girls are all one shape, and we're all good with it. You can have the fancier clothes, you can have whatever clothes you want, whatever house you want, whatever car you want, whatever. You got all the same possessions, physical characteristics. Now there's a problem where class structure starts to become an intellectual prowess thing. How much information that is accurate have you memorized and can then intelligently use to connect dots? Meaning you have an IQ. Well, someone's going to have a higher IQ than somebody else. And there's going to be some event, college, business, external event, where you're going to be smarter than someone else. And someone else is going to say you are a have and they're a have not. And they're going to hate you because you're smarter. What can you do to become dumb? Well, we're going to ice pick right between your eye. We're going to go in there and rub around and scramble your frontal lobe to make you stupid. That'll make you all like the rest of us who are lazy fucks and don't want to learn anything. Then, let's just say we balance the IQs somehow, right? Some magical sauce we drink and boom, we're all the same level of intelligence. Hopefully high, probably low. Then some people are going to be creative. Some people are going to be able to pick up a guitar and write a song in 2 seconds and sing in tune. Some people are going to create rocket ships and all kinds of other stuff. Well, if you can't, and we have built this pussified society that says, I get everything you get, then I guess you're not allowed to be creative because it makes other people feel uncomfortable. There's class structure everywhere. Sure, there is a gigantic problem, but just the concept of finding truth in the first place. As the Big Lebowski says, well, that's just your opinion, man. And that's probably all we can ever have is our opinion of something. But then, the one added little layer we can put on top of pretty much all the things that we absorb as human beings would be what I use to bring a group of people together. So say you have a room full of super extremist snowflakes. Maybe we have some LGBT representatives in the room. And then we have the rest of your normal meat-eating American kind of folks. I'll be talking about American subset. I can't speak for any other country. Put them all in the room. And if they come in through, they get into a conversation and they get into it from a party line perspective, Democrat, Republican, LGBT representation, you know, all the gender stuff, they're going to argue like crazy. It's going to get bad. People are going to want to go to blows. But if we say, look, let's introduce the concept of common law in the room. And the common law, as I always say on this show, is do no harm to somebody else. All right. So I go off to my Republican people first. And I say, look, do you wish any harm on anyone else in this room? Do you really want them to feel pain? Do you want them to die? No, of course not. Da, 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 da. I just want a great world. Okay, good. LGBT, how do you feel? Well, you know, we want the same thing. We just kind of want to be left alone, not persecuted, you know, not oppressed because we have our gender identification. It's different than yours. Go over to your extreme leftists. Well, what are you trying to do with your socialism? Well, we want to have everybody feel good and even and da, da, da. Okay, great. So under common law umbrella, I haven't had it fail yet. It takes some work and conversation sometimes, but we all kind of get to the point of like, okay, I got plenty of relatives that are very, very leftist. Okay, so if I ask them, do you wish the world was more peaceful and no wars? Absolutely. Do you think that people should be allowed to worship whatever God that they believe in, even if you think it's silly? Yes, of course. Now, of course, there's obviously caveats to all these answers, which is, but does that form of belief cause harm to people? And they all have to kind of go, well, yeah, I guess it could be my belief system that I came in the room with. It does get angry and violent at times. I think the most common or the most basic definition of a healthy society would be a happy society, right? We don't agree on the cause and effect models in the world, for sure. You know? We think that, some historians will tell you that religion has been the biggest death pool machine that the world has ever had. Prior to religion, we simply had resource battles. You know, you have the water hole, I don't have the water hole. You've got the beach, I don't have the beach. I'm starving, you're not, so I need some of your stuff. I need you to share. It's alarming to have someone come in and say, I need your stuff because I'm dying. Every time you see a homeless person, it's a rough mental thing that occurs because you're like, well, if this person is truly down and out and willing to work and participate in society, then they're probably the person you want to give the money to, help, talk to, whatever. And if you got the folks that, you know, like the 18-year-old Silver Spoon white girl up in San Francisco, choosing to live on the street because she's just too damn lazy to get an education with all the perfectly financed opportunities in her life, you have no sympathy for that person. I mean, at least on the obtuse level. On the acute level, you can say, well, something went wrong. Something went wrong that you got to be born into all this opportunity, aka privilege, and you're not taking advantage of even a thimble of it. And so now you're burdening society with your existence because you're incapable of becoming a productive person. It gets rough really fast, man. My personal belief about humanity is that we are truly, you know, and I don't mean this as a slam against mankind at all. I think our life is supposed to be very chill. I think we're supposed to be just chilling out in our house. There's not supposed to be a job that's just some arbitrary thing. Build rockets, you know, solve accounting problems. I don't think any of that stuff is supposed to exist. At our current level of development, we have fed ourselves a lie that we are sophisticated. And that has caused all these paradigms to exist, such as taxes and, you know, wages and all this other stuff that you're supposed to do to exist in society. So some people who want to control us manifest these paradigms because it is a control mechanism. If you had to pay taxes, if I have to pay rent, I've got to go work, and that forces me to do something. Now, the flip side of the argument is, well, we're trying to evolve man's intelligence, man's capabilities, and so this pressure is necessary if we are to exist. Probably not technically true, but then there'd be a lot of genocidal wars because we would be fighting each other for land as we continue to procreate, run out of space, run out of resources. If we don't develop technology to live up in buildings and down into the ground and, you know, put food inside, you know, these greenhouses that can just spray them, spritz a, you know, a watermelon with water every once in a while, we're going to starve to death. Society is an extremely complicated thing. So anytime you hear these instant truth paradigms that exist, maybe not even instant truth, but, you know, you got to stir the pudding a little longer kind of truth, you can't really get it. One, because we allow folks to tell lies. So let me throw this at you too. A little esoteric, but it will get you a little bit further down the road of sort of potential solutions in this to this problem. So if you're a Christian, that's what I know most about, I guess, in terms of organized religion. There's this dream and this hope that the second coming will happen. That Jesus did exist a long time ago. He's going to come back. And there's a couple different philosophies of how that's going to work. There'll be 1,000 years of prosperity on earth. And then we all go to heaven. Or we all go to heaven. And I don't know what happens. The meek get to inherit earth while the rest of us go to heaven. I don't know. But there's this supernatural instantaneous fix that people sit around hoping for. And again, it happens about 45 and up for a Christian who's still devout. They really believe that everything is the end of the world constantly because they don't want to pay taxes anymore. They don't want to work anymore. They're terrified of their retirement. And so it is scary. But what if the solution was Jesus comes down. He doesn't bring any angels with him. And we all, you know, he walks on water. He does all of his miracles. But one, there's some people that will just say, screw that guy. They just will. No matter how much he proves he's this a magic deity or whatever, they'll just resist the guy. But let's just say that America, being mostly a Christian-based society, elects Jesus to be president. And Jesus is like, okay, I'm God. I'm the Son of God. Either way, I'm pretty knowledgeable about things. I know the truth to all things. But now Jesus has to legislate the fixes into place. So we can trust everything that he comes up with. The House and the Senate just absolutely pass everything that he proposes. You know, he says, please write a law about that. They develop it. Boom, he signs it. He gets line item veto power. But there's no more pork belly spending, you know, there's no more bridges to places that don't exist. There's no more of that stuff. So how would God fix the problem through the system by which we have established today? you could just see how utterly complex that is. If any of our faux enemies were to not believe in him, think he's a fake, then the wars are going to continue. So if Christ came in here and said, well, we're going to defund military instantaneously because there shouldn't be any wars. I didn't make you guys so you kill each other. You don't have the right to kill each other, which is why it's a global law from the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Okay? It's a mess. I mean, you'd have to have education be number one, and then education's going to have to be completely redone. All the fake science would just be instantaneously over. Well, is that easy? What if he said you're not supposed to work an 8-hour workday? You're not supposed to be up at some desk at 8 o'clock in the morning trying to think straight because I didn't build your bodies to do that. Kids shouldn't be in school all freaking day. But if they are there, they're supposed to learn something. And so all this other stuff they're learning. He says, don't teach that, teach this. Gets super complicated super quick. Well, if it would be that tough for God to work through our system, someone who knows everything, how could he fix the truth of the history of this world? Is God going to sit around and, you know, materialize history books? I guess that'd have to be the way it is. Like, boom, there it is. And I put it on the internet. It's in a Wikipedia. It's like Jesuspedia. And it is all true. Truthopedia. If you read it here, it did happen. Sorry, dinosaurs. And think about the generations. Let's just run it forward just a couple decades. What about the generations of boomers that believe in all this crap? We all believe in some crap, but each generation down, Generation X, the Millennials, the Gen Zers, whatever's after them, they're going to hang on to their belief systems. I can't imagine, okay, going up to some of my relatives and saying, so what do you think? 9/11 was an inside job. JFK was murdered by LBJ's folks. Nazis came into America and ran the place. Ba, 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 whatever the truth is, right? I can't imagine how their brain would discern that. It would be Robbie the Robot in Forbidden Planet self-destructing because the Morbius told him to shoot the captain and he's got a directive not to hurt human beings, and so he just sits there and starts short-circuiting. I would imagine that would be half their brains. We'd have to have Jesus lay hands on people to keep them out of insane asylums from having to deal with the truth. So what does all this prove in the end? Well, I think it easily proves that we live in absolute, pure, concentrated, reinforced, fed chaos. And have you ever metaphorically slipped on ice walking outside? Ever in your lifetime, something slippery, a wet floor. And you're in those few split seconds before you hit your ass on the ground. And you're thinking to yourself, this sucks. I am completely and utterly out of control. I know how to be in control. I know how to stand on solid ground and stand straight up and walk fine. But right now in this hysterical loop, I am a Warner Brothers cartoon slipping and sliding, and I can't get my footing at all. But you know you could if you could just stabilize everything. Well, that's the world. That is the world. So the idea has been that we will infect society with the truth, with at least the mechanisms to think for themselves, to at least stay in a neutral position until something takes an unequivocal truth bias, where it's sort of like 1 + 1 always equals 2, and can we use mathematics on in various dimensions of thinking to say, well, we know that that didn't happen. You know, most of us look at 9/11 and we're like, well, we don't know who exactly did it, we don't know how exactly they did it. But the official story defies physics, so we know that the official story is untrue. Same thing with about every conspiracy on planet Earth. The moon missions, JFK's murder, MLK, RFK, Malcolm X. I mean, just one after the other after the other. Things don't make sense. When they don't make sense, but the official story tries to make sense out of it using propaganda and other lenient interpretations of the truth, then we're kind of screwed, right? That's why the most brilliant people on earth who've had the opportunity to study reality at its finest detail always come out saying, well, I learned I knew nothing. And I think it really comes down to truth is perhaps just an idealistic perspective of reality that is never attainable in the current state of reality that we choose to live in. You know what's interesting about dreams? Dreams typically don't have mystery. There might be some things that, you know, something's happening, you're not quite sure what it is, but when you get around the corner, you look around and your brain, because it's controlling this very dynamic reality, it's able to say, well, I'm the creator of this reality, is sort of what you don't realize about what you're thinking, but it is true. You do know the truth for the most part inside of a dream. It's this sort of idealistic haven that we're allowed to live in to test ourselves when we wake up, to compare realities and go, you know what, this one is really weird. Like, I'm in my backyard, that's what I know. I'm making a show, that's what I know. It's a sunny day, that's what I know. Right now there's no chemtrails, that's what I know. So the only thing that really exists that we can have really any opinion about is our little sphere of influence, our sphere of observational reality. But, you know, just like the psychology experiment with the kids watching the murder, biases can easily take place, especially if trauma is involved with the event. But now as we finish up this episode, let's take one of these concepts that we've come up with and let's reiterate it in the conversation with those who believe they have access to instant truth. Let's say we have this detailed one-hour conversation with someone who watches propaganda news and thinks they've got the lockdown on it. So we say, do you agree that we have no grasp of reality, really? We have no real grasp of the truth, and it's done through accidental inability to record history, or, you know, meaning we have no language, we have no written word, up to the point of allowing yellow journalism to become certified as truth. We finance to the tune of billions of dollars organizations that are literally geared and chartered to lie to the people of the world. Sometimes it's under the pretense that you can't handle the truth, but whatever. Most intelligent people would come to the conclusion, well, yeah, we do sort of live in a BS planet, you know, where we can't get access to the truth. And then it's like, okay, now, what about all that anger you have that's legit? It's inside you because dumb things are happening around you. What do you do with that? I don't know. I think we have to figure out a way to live in the unknown 24/7. Again, you know, the news reports murders all over the world, horrible, horrible things all over the world constantly, right? Because they're part of the trauma news situation, right? They want to traumatize you so you believe all the other horse crap they have to shove down your throat. Do I live in sunny California? Sunny Southern California, let's just say. Do I really need to know that a housewife murdered another housewife in Kansas to steal her baby out of her womb? Probably not. Do I need to hear how many people got killed in Chicago yesterday? Probably not. I don't live in Chicago. Nothing I do is going to affect local laws in Chicago. People in Chicago have to care about Chicago. They have to wake up and say, we don't want that anymore. LA used to have massive gang fights in the late 80s, early 90s, and I mean massive shootings happened every single day. I used to drive to work, and guys would drive to work with helmets on, which had like funny sayings on them about, you know, don't shoot me or whatever. But we got rid of it. Everybody got tired of it. Now the Midwest is taking over for LA, and they're trying to listen to all the gangster rap music and all this other crap that's glorifying death and guns and drugs and women are bitches and blah blah blah. So they're hanging on to this. Dallas, Texas, Austin, Texas, Chicago, Kansas City, all these places in the Midwest are trying to be the hardest LA impersonation they can possibly be when we're out of it. Go talk to an LAPD and say, how bad is it now compared to the way it was in the 90s? And they're like, man, it's nothing now. I don't even remember last time I heard about a drive-by shooting in Los Angeles. I'm sure they happen all the time, but not like they used to. So there is no such thing as instant truth, and there never has been outside of your immediate circle of influence. But you know that we've all had mistaken facts in our minds. I told an old story. I'm going to say it again just in the episode. It's a stupid little story. Watching a movie with a girlfriend. And we had bought, it was a Blockbuster thing. So we rented a couple movies and we bought the candy at the store, right? And we had some M&Ms, peanut M&Ms in a bag. And we're obviously taking turns because it's all up on the coffee table. We're taking turns eating the peanut M&Ms. And I was the last one to visit the bag and I poured it out and I squeezed the bag in my hand. And I thought I had, you know, guaranteed myself there was no more peanuts in the bag. And my girlfriend, 5 minutes later, goes, "Is there any more peanuts?" No, I got the last one. Sorry. Oh, man. Damn, I really wanted those peanuts. There's obviously an air show going on I was unaware of. Sounds so huge. Some jets flying around. I can't see them. But anyway, movie's over. About to go to bed. And we're picking up all the trash. And she picks up the M&M bag. And there were M&Ms in the bag. She's like, "Ding, ding." She's like, you lied to me. You said there were no M&Ms left. And I said, "Oh, man, I thought there weren't." And, of course, it's a funny moment between the two of us, but it taught me that even in my local circle of influence, I can be wrong about something so easy. It would have given her pleasure to eat those two M&Ms that were left in the bag, but I blew it, right? That's how easy it can be just to tell a lie, to be incorrect. To assess facts wrong that are right in front of your face. Keep that in mind next time you're so sure about the truth. I think that's all I got about that topic. Hopefully that was useful for your brain. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. It's all spruced up, works on your phone, works on the web. Should remain that way until I upgrade it again. Not going to make a long bumper today. There's all the choices for video, audio, donating to the page, social media, and of course the remastered season one channel. It's a different channel. So until next episode, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you on the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.